You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is James Wrench, and Luann is still in the great state of New York, a blazing New York. I'm sure we'll have plenty of testimonies when she gets back. I'm going to start where I was last week, just a little recap, and then go forward from there. We're speaking about surrendering to the Lord and that the Lord wants to speak to all of us, but we don't realize most of the time He is speaking. I'm going to be getting into that. I thought I would last week, but first I want to start with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And the next scripture is 1 Corinthians 4:19. "I will come to you shortly, and if the Lord will, I will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power of God. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." So the difference between Christian religion and all the other religion is the power of God, the miracles. If you take the miracles out of the Bible, we just have a good novel. That's what separates us. We have a God, and He wants to move in power, but He sets it up where He moves through people. So He moves if we move. So we kind of bind Him up when we don't move. And the enemy also needs people to move in this realm. If God just moved, the hospitals would clear out because everybody's crying out. But you don't really see the miracles break out unless someone goes up there praying and God moving through them. So with that said, we're going to go into the gifts of the Spirit, because this is how God moves through people, is through the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And as we understand them more, as I learned them through sitting there, they started happening. They kind of started happening after I learned about them. So at least I wasn't trying to figure out what the heck was going on. So with that said, I'm praying that listeners will listen and God will start moving through many of these ways He speaks. So first, we'll start with Corinthians. I'm going to start at 1 Corinthians 12:7 and just do a recap on what we've covered. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom," which is supernatural wisdom. Now, King Solomon had more wisdom than anybody's ever had or ever will have. So we think like Elon Musk is really smart, but supernatural wisdom is so far beyond. I mean, He knows everything we're ever going to invent. He can look at the wall, a piece of sand and the concrete on the wall. He can tell you where that piece of sand was every day for thousands of years, how it was over here and it blew in the air in this storm and it was on a ship in this. And He knows everything about every planet all at the same time. And the neat thing to me is when we pray for someone and they get healed, or we get a word of wisdom or a word of prophecy, at that same time He's doing that and we feel like He moves so powerfully, He also was talking about thousands of other people at the same time through dreams, through prophecy through them, and healing other people at the same time. He doesn't think with a brain. He's not got an organ like a brain. God is so far beyond the capability of what we think is powerful. What we think is powerful is really, I mean, we're talking about the God that spoke the word into existence, you know, and then we get excited, like, you know, a leg grew out or something like that, or a broken bone instantly healed. But really, in the reality, that's really not powerful in his eyes. So with that said, get back where I was. Oh, wisdom. So he can give you supernatural wisdom into a situation. So think about this. You could be trying to figure out something for the space shuttle, and someone that knows nothing but knows the Holy Spirit could just have the answer like that. So if we'll just ask him about everything, he wants to speak to every bit of your life. He wants to be so close to you. He wants you to be so close to him. I mean, he's in us, but he wants to be, he wants us to reach out to him because he wants to have that relationship. And you'll be surprised how he'll speak about the minutest things when you go to him. Anyway, the next is the word of knowledge. Now, a word of knowledge is supernatural knowledge that you couldn't have, but it's things that have already happened or happening. You can have a word of knowledge about something wrong with someone. I get them usually through, I'll feel a pain in someone in my body, like I'll be standing there and I don't have a bad shoulder, and all of a sudden my shoulder starts hurting. I was in a meeting, a lady was really gifted lady actually, and I went up, "Is your knee, you got a problem with your knee?" Because my knee just started really hurting, and I knew it was not me. And she got a new knee actually. Next day she called all ecstatic. And I had no idea she had a bad knee. I get a lot of them that way, but everybody's different. You may not be a feeler. I'm more a feeler. I feel a lot of things. I'll feel depression around somebody. You can also get, William Branham was really gifted in this, and he would get, stand people up and tell them their names and their addresses, what state they lived in and what was wrong with them, what their doctor's name is and what the doctor said. And that actually, he had radical healings, but that actually builds a person's faith when you get those kinds of words of knowledge. So that's word of knowledge. I'm just recapping. I don't want to go on too much. These are revelatory gifts, but they're not, the word of knowledge is not prophecy. And whenever I'm in a meeting, there's not a lot of people these days moving like it seems like they were 30 years ago in these giftings, but there's a few out there. And if someone's getting a word of knowledge, doesn't mean they're getting moving in the gift of prophecy. They may be. Most people that move in the gift of prophecy move in words of knowledge. There's some people moving words of knowledge, don't move in the gift of prophecy. So I was in a meeting. The guy was very, very gifted. William Branham had laid hands on him. And I got about 12 different people to go check it out over like 5 days. And all but two of them, he told their names and all kinds of stuff. But he would start getting into prophecy, and I was nervous because we were in a section of town that was kind of a rough section of town. And he told 20 women, he said, 20 women here have children in jail. There's 20 people in prison, and I want you to stand up. And 19 stood up, and he went on and on and on trying to get the 20th. I'm not doing it till you stand up. And finally, one of them raises their hand and said, "I have two boys in jail." He goes, "Oh, okay, that's why there's 19 of you." So then he prophesied they were going to get out, all of them, by a certain date. And they were excited, but I'll just be honest, I got really nervous inside, hoping he's not just stepping out in faith that he has the gift of prophecy like he does the word of knowledge, because I don't know. I don't know the man. But anyway, they're both revelatory gifts, but word of knowledge is things that already exist, not future things like the word of prophecy. So that's the difference in the gifts. And then, let's see. The next is the gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith is supernatural faith. Now, some people, like there's a guy, Thurman Scrivener, And Sid Ross said he gets more people healed than anybody he's ever met in his life. He gets just radical healings and deliverances. And he has more faith than anybody I've ever heard. I mean, he pulled off the road with two kids in the car in a hailstorm and said, "You need to learn your authority," and rebuked the hail off his car, and it made a 5-foot circle around the car. The kids are looking out the window, 16 to 17-year-old, going, "That's unbelievable." And he's screaming at him, "No, it's not unbelievable. That's the whole point of this. It's believable. Believe it." Don't say that. But anyway, his faith wasn't necessarily a supernatural gift. We see that and we go, "Oh, that's this gift of faith because it's big." But not necessarily, because each person has a level of faith that you can develop. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is actually believing the scripture over the circumstance. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. The doctor told me with chemotherapy, I had a 50% greater chance of making it 5 years in 2018. They're just trying to get me to 5 years, and the Lord told me not to do it. And I don't recommend not doing it unless the Lord tells you. I was going to do it. I was scheduled to get the port. I was afraid the doctor is going to, my oncologist was going to drop me if I didn't get a hold of him first, and I had to wait till the day before the port went in to go in and tell him I didn't want to do it, because I knew if I called the doctor putting the port in, it could ruin me having him, and I wanted him at that time. And I'm way past 5 years. So that was, I forget my purpose of that. We'll go back to it when I remember. Anyway, the gift of faith is just when a supernatural gifting of faith comes on you. I've seen that a few times. I don't want to even give them testimonies. They might not believe them. Then the gift of healing is the next gift. A recent one, a friend of mine that I partied with for years and years. In 1989, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was so wild, I didn't ever try to witness to him because I knew he'd just make fun of me, and I knew the way he was. He'd always making fun of everybody and was just that goofy, just a sense of humor, but he would just be drinking all the time, and was funny to listen to back then. And so I didn't see him but 4 or 5 times through the years over that 30-some years. And he came into my shop about a year and a half ago, walks in and talks about 10 minutes, and something just led him to go over there to my shop. And he says, "I got to go. My back's killing me. I'm getting an operation in 2 days. I asked him to just come in my office and could I pray for him, and he let me. And I took his feet, and God just started growing his leg out. It's 1.5 inches short, and he knew that. I told him to watch it. I always tell people to watch. I think God does the leg growing out to actually help the people's faith that he's doing it to. He's doing it. Everybody I teach to do that, he does it through. And that's the purpose of this, is so you can see that you can do these same things. When I share these, this is for you to see you can do them. And I'll have someone on next week that's going to give his testimony, because he didn't know any of this, and I showed him, and he's just had tremendous amount of healings. Now he sees he can do it. And he was a Baptist, and I was over at the Methodist church because God grew a lady's leg out, and she went back, told her church, and they had me come over to a healing meeting there, and I taught them and got them doing the same thing. So anyway, Randy sat down, I took his feet, and his legs started growing out before I prayed. Now, I haven't seen that in about 20 years. Usually, I got to speak to it, and it starts growing. I said, "Look, Randy, God loves you so much, he's just growing your leg out, and I'm not even praying." And his leg came out, and I did speak to his back, I didn't speak to his back, I think, because I wanted to see. Whenever I'd pray for people and God would do that, I wanted to just stand them up, but usually I don't know the people, and I didn't want to get in. If they still had the pain, I didn't want them to not sit back down, so I would go ahead and pray over it. And with him, I said, "Stand up," because I wanted to see if it was healed or if I needed to pray more and command the spine to line up and the disc to be healed, because I usually do that unless God's moving before I move. So anyway, I told him to stand up, and he's looking around for something to grab, because he was really twisted up and would have to hold something to get up. And I said, "You don't need to grab nothing. Get up." He looks, and he just real slowly looks scared to death. He stands up with this frightened look on his face. And he's not a guy I ever saw frightened before. And he goes up real slow, goes down real slow, goes up again faster. And then he starts going up and down like six times real fast and raises his hand, screams really loud, "You got me." Then next day, guy grew his mother's leg out 2.5 inches. He says 2.5. I think it's more like 3. It's the furthest I've seen one grow. The shortest one I've had to pray for. And I had a guy that I met was right near my shop, and his leg was like 5 or 6 inches short, and his leg was smaller. And I talked to him a while, tried to get him to stop by the shop, and he said he would, but he never came by. I wanted to pray for him. But anyway, let's see here. Also wanted to, and that's healing. Another guy come by, his Achilles tendon, his rotator cuff, and his back was out, and God just instantly healed him. And I also want to explain why I talk about healing. I touched on spiritual roots of disease, because when you get in diseases, there can be a cause. Most of them there is. And if you get into just healing without a root, unforgiveness blocks healing a lot. Most people I work with, I do have some pastors that send people by, they can't get healed, and it's 99.999% of the time it's unforgiveness. For example, I had a guy in the parking lot of my shop, and I needed a tool to work on the pump. The landlord asked me, because I used to do irrigation, if I'd work on the pump for the warehouse. So I asked that guy if he had a hacksaw, because he had that kind of truck. He said no. I started talking to him. He says his back's hurting. I said, "Can you come in my shop a minute?" And I usually don't tell people what I'm doing, because they'll just say no. I asked him to sit down, and I asked him if I could take his feet. His friend comes walking in. So then he's like, "What are you doing?" And I explain, and I pray. His leg comes out. He stands up, totally healed. His friend says, "Can you pray for my shoulder?" Pray for his shoulder. His shoulder's healed. And then lead him to the Lord. And then his friend says, "I have diabetes." Well, if you understand spiritual roots and cause of disease, and you understand that in that moment, when someone gets saved, every sin, every generational thing's forgiven in that moment, but they usually walk back in and without even realizing it, opening doors back. So I was really excited, because he just accepted the Lord, and then he tells me that. I said, "That's no problem. No repentance necessary." I just said, "Spirit of diabetes, come out in Jesus' name." And he come by a month later. I didn't know him, didn't know how to get a hold of him. And he says, had somebody with him. He says, "Ever since you prayed, my blood sugar's perfect." And I seen him 5 years later, his blood sugar is still perfect. He said, "My friend here, can you pray for him?" So I sat him down, prayed for him, his leg and back, I think it was. I said, "Stand up." He stands up, says, "No change." I said, "Sit down." I said, "You know the Lord, don't you?" He says, "Yes." I said, "You know him really well, don't you?" "Yeah, I do." I said, "You know how I know you know him so well?" He says, "No." I said, "Because you'd have been healed if you didn't. But you're a child of God. We're commanded to forgive. We have to forgive. An unforgiver, an unsaved person can have unforgiveness. That never blocks anything. God just shows up to show him he's God." I said, "If you'll forgive, God will show you if you want to forgive, because he wants you healed. He won't just show you going down the road, because you'll get mad thinking about the person. But when you're seeking healing and you ask him to show you, he will show you." And I do it over whole churches, and everybody sees a lot of people every time. And said, "Do you want to do that?" "Yes, I do." I just prayed. I usually wait 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'll say, "You still seeing anybody?" And they almost always say yes. all but one. And I say, that's okay. You got the yes in your spirit. Now you're not going to keep that. As long as you are in yes mode and you're not holding unforgiveness, and that you know that's a sin and you got to forgive, or you're not forgiven, you're okay. I prayed and he was instantly healed. I've seen that too many times to count. And the guy that's Keeley's back and rotor cup and Achilles tendon back and rotator cuff were healed. He came by. He accepted the Lord. He came by. A couple days later, and he competes hitting home runs, gets paid for it. Softball, he's real good. And he says, man, I can't hold the bat. My hands hurt so bad. I said, yeah, you joined the winning team now. You go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He became the kingdom of darkness's adversary. So he never had no arthritis. Now, all you got to do is walk in obedience. We're on the winning team. We have full authority over the enemy if we walk in obedience. The problem is we got disobedient Christians. So anyway, I just told him to close his eyes, and he's the one that I said only seen a few people. And I said, and he forgave him. And I didn't pray for him. I just said, move your hands, because arthritis leaves when you forgive. I've seen it over and over for 20-some years. And it's like high blood pressure. I was at this other church and explained it. Next week, the guy that's coming next week, he'll get a testimony. His sister's there, and she says, his name's Tyler Loxton. Some of y'all may know him. He says, his sister says, Tyler told me what you said about high blood pressure, explaining it. And what high blood pressure is when you have fear of future, your body releases ACTH in your bloodstream, makes your blood vessel shrink. And it can't push the blood through a blood vessel, shrunken blood vessel, so blood pressure goes up. They go to the doctor, they give you a beta blocker, blocks your sympathetic nervous system to receive the blood, release the blood vessel, and blood pressure goes down. Well, the Bible says, New Testament, take no thought for tomorrow. And when they get out of fear and future, whether it's fearing your bills, your children, your wife, children messing up, whatever it is, get out of fear of future, and blood pressure comes down. So his sister's there. She says, he told me what you taught him, what you told him. And I know when it came in, I was pregnant and something happened, and I repented. My blood pressure's perfect. It was always real high, but I'm nauseous every day. And his sister says, she's a nurse. She says, are you taking your medicine? He goes, yeah, but I was high blood pressure on the medicine, and now I'm still taking it, but the blood pressure's perfect. She said, well, the side effects of taking high blood pressure medicine when you don't have it is nauseousness. So she quit taking it, and she's been off it for over a year, totally free. So that's spiritual reason. I just wanted to cover that. One good one was a guy I know that learned it. He was in Benny Hinn's ministry. His wife was healed in one of my meetings. He started coming down to my meetings at the House of Prayer in Fort Pierce. And she had a hunchback. With God straightened her out. They were pretty amazed, even though they'd seen a lot of Benny Hinn's. And then he was telling me how he learned spiritual roots. And he was walking around at Benny Hinn's, and there was a lady in a wheelchair, all twisted up with arthritis. And he was good at pulling on God for words. And he said, Lord, what's the offense here? And he said, her uncle. So he went over there and said, ma'am, I don't want to offend you. I want to ask you a couple of questions. I don't want to offend you. She said, honey, I've been in this wheelchair 19 years. If you got something, spit it out. She was an older, about 80-year-old woman. And he said, well, the Lord says you need to forgive your uncle. She says, well, I done forgave him 100 times. That tells you there's something there. He says, well, can I lead you in a prayer? He says, yeah. So says, leads in a prayer, I forgive my uncle. She prays and it's flat. I forgive my uncle. So he does that a couple times. And then he says, what now, Lord? The Lord said, tell her to release her uncle. Let me pray you through a prayer releasing your uncle. When she does, her hands straighten up. And it says, now tell her to release her dad. And she released her dad. And he goes, let's see if you can get up. And she actually said, I can take like six steps, but you'd be barely able to walk. She gets up, she starts walking, she ran across the place, and Benny Hinn let her give her testimony the next three nights. So that's Spiritual Roots, and you can learn more about that, and you can call here sometime if you want to. I can tell you some books to get. A More Excellent Way has a pretty lot of that in there. That's a great book by Henry Wright. It was a number one seller for like 14 years or something in the health section. So then we have Working in Miracles is next. Time is just flying. I'm trying to get a prophecy. Miracles. God can put organs back in bodies. He can do things supernaturally. None to do with people would be gift of miracles. When the axe head floated, when Elijah threw the piece of wood in and prayed and the axe head floated, that would be a miracle. I seen a pigeon-toed girl. I was in Costa Rica. A guy had flew his wife over, came to my shop, and I prayed for her. She got healed, and they flew me over there to pray for her. They just had about 10 or 15 people, but God healed them, and I taught them a bit on deliverance and stuff, which we need to learn on. And there was a girl 11 years old, and she's pigeon-toed with her, you know, her legs pointing in. And the enemy came on me so strong with doubt, like, that's never going to happen. I just never prayed for that. And I said, nope, this ain't about me. I'm out of the country, because he moves more when you're in other countries. Because people see God more, and there's less chance of God protects us from pride, I'm telling you. Some things he does just to protect us. But when you're going to leave and you're not going to be there and they're not going to talk about you, God's going to get all the glory. You'll see more happen. So anyway, I was like, and always act confident. I don't care how much doubt you have, even casting demons out especially. Just talk confident. I'm telling you, it makes a big difference, even when you feel total doubt. So I told her to walk, and she's walking all pointing, you know, feet and knees pointing in or whatever. And came back. I just prayed over her and just said, walk again. Inside, I felt like scared to death, but I'm just like, walk again, you know. And she walked with her feet straight. Her mom fell off the couch screaming so loud, crying like a baby. That was so wonderful. But anyway, did see a lady with a metal rod in her finger, being able to bend her finger. That would be under a miracle. And next, we go on to the gift of prophecy. Wow, 30 minutes to get here. My recap was a little long. So, the Corinthians 14:3. Let's see. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. If we just stick to that, things would flow a lot better. And the prophetic people would be a lot more accepted. And I'm going to bunny trail a little off my notes, but there's different attacks on different giftings. And like a people-pleasing spirit will try to attack someone called to pastor. And that doesn't mean everybody has it, but it's a common attack. And he usually knows what you're called to. And rejection is just the attack on prophetic people. And I've never met anybody that didn't have rejection to some extent if they understand the spirit. Spirit makes you feel like a round peg in a square hole. You feel like you don't fit in. When someone corrects you, you feel like they're putting you down. It makes you defend yourself. But its main goal, it strips you from your identity. And that's why people in the church start having, you know, apostles and prophet and these things printed on their business cards, because they don't feel like you're really going to receive what they have to say is valid. Like, that's putting the explanation point that, hey, I do have something to say. And with that stripping of identity, it can get a little messy in churches, because sometimes people, they'll give words and then get mad if they're not received. And I know someone that, I mean, they ran the prophetic, in the Toronto movement, and they're personally mentored by Bob Jones. Just highly used in a very big church of thousands, now running head over the prophetic. And she has to take them, you know, back constantly. New people come in and want to stand up and tell thousands of people what's wrong with them. And if we stuck to edification, exhortation, and comfort, we wouldn't be dealing with that, you know. And then about everybody I've ever helped with the gift of prophecy says they're a prophet. Now, how gifted you are has nothing to do with the mantle of a prophet. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet that ever lived, Jesus said. And he had one great revelation that I hear in the Bible. Behold, the Lamb of God. It wasn't about the revelation he had, but he had a whole country come out to hear him and be baptized. That's a mantle. Let's go to the beach and see how many people come out. I don't claim to have a mantle. But the point is, the gift of prophecy and the mantle is two different things. Because if you truly, I don't want to get in down this rabbit hole, but if you got the mantle of a prophet, you also have two revelation gifts, either words of knowledge, words of wisdom, or discerning of spirits. You have two of those three gifts also, and the gift of prophecy flowing all the time. And another thing on prophecy is usually people are gifted in personal prophecy or more global type. It can be storms and things happening, political and those type things. And I've only known a couple that actually had both. Generally, it's just the way God moves. It's just one or the other kind of. And I've been around people that move in one area and then try to go over in the other area and miss it every time because they're just not gifted in both. And maybe God can grow them into that. I don't know why he does it that way. Maybe to keep us humble. I don't know. But you will notice that. Now, prophecy is the only gift in the Bible that it says to covet. So 1 Corinthians 14:39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak it in tongues. So, covet means to eagerly or excessively desire something. The one thing God tells us not to do, covet. He says to covet that gift. Now, why would he tell us to covet that? This is James, I could be wrong. Personal opinion is because God loves to exhortate, exalt, and comfort people, and he set it up where he moves through people. So the only way he can do it is through someone doing it. So when you move in that gift and you can do that, God's getting to move through you, and he really likes doing that, and that's why he wants us to covet it. That's my opinion. Let's see here. Next, I want to say that just about everyone has heard the Lord and doesn't realize it, unless you do realize it. But those that I wish God would talk to me, you just don't understand. He doesn't speak like we speak generally. He can, but that's rare. He can speak out loud. That's rare. If you're saved, then you've heard God. Because the Bible says, Jesus talking, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. John 6:44. There's pastors that says God doesn't speak anymore, but most of them, if you sit him down and talk to him and ask him why they're a pastor, they'll tell you God called him. What do you mean you called you? He doesn't speak. How'd you hear him? Well, it was a leading. That's talking. He speaks through leading more than he speaks through talking. So I'm going to go into just speaking about the different ways he talks. Yeah. 1 second. Let me catch up my notes here with me. Okay. It's usually more about discerning God's voice than getting him to talk to you. I'm going to share some common ways he speaks. I want to say that there's different levels of revelation. There's lower levels, which I'm going to cover first, and then higher levels. And when I hear a lower level, I want you to understand that a lower level doesn't mean less important. He can give really important. You could lose $1 million over a low level revelation you missed. So don't take it as, when I say low level, like it's not as meaningful. They're just less in the revelatory supernatural realm. So lower levels, which are the most common, because I had a high level when I first got saved, when he first spoke to me to pray for someone, and it was almost 10 years before I had another one of them, and I just thought he wasn't talking. And he was talking the whole 10 years. I didn't understand. He speaks in different ways. So, first off, one way he speaks is through thoughts. Thoughts are the easiest place to miss it, because we have thoughts too, and the enemy gives us thoughts constantly. Enemy's always trying to throw us off. And sometimes you may have, one thing I was dealing with in deliverances is I would get something in my thought and then get another thought. And the Lord told me through another person in the deliverance, that was the only accurate prophetic person I ever did deliverance with. Right brain people manifest and speak more in deliverance than left brain people don't do that much. But he was very accurate, and he said, the first thought is yours. And that's really helped me through the years, because I'll get a thought that's a God thing, and then the next thought right behind it, the enemy trying to ruin it. So we have thoughts. The enemy gives us thoughts. The enemy's thoughts are usually louder. God's are very quiet for me, for most people I work with. About everybody I ever worked with, but maybe not for everybody out there. So discernment is critical with thought realm. And God wants us to have a closer relationship, so he'll give you thoughts to draw you into seeking him as this you. Because he wants that. He wants you talking to him. He wants to have more two-way conversation, though. When he spoke to me not to do chemo, that was through a thought. The thought wasn't, don't do it, though. Thought was, call your doctor, see what your blood test was, because my CEA was always, which is what they check for colon cancer, was always really high, over 2.5 bad. Mine would be up 8 to 10, and I called him, and it was 1.1. That's when I knew he was telling me. And he also he's very clear with me on eating, I'll say. He had me fasting I was on the third day of a fast, and I'm begging him. I'm up at 4 in the morning every morning, crying out, don't put me on some long fast and I in the middle of chemo for 20 days not eating, and then you tell me now before I get to port, are you having me fast to not do the chemo? And that's when that came, and then he let me eat right after that. I knew it was him. So anyway, next thing, let's see. The next level is impression. This is the most common way for me, and I believe for most people. Seems a little more accurate to me. You have something go wrong. You say, man, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Everybody's done that. You had that gut instinct. You had that knowing. Or really a knowing. It was an impression. Or you get involved with somebody. I knew it right from the beginning. I just knew it. That's impressions. Those can be so important. Led of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit told Kenneth Hagin that if he would learn that unction, that impression, he said, I'll make my people rich. He says, I'm not against them being rich. I'm against them being covetous. If they'll just learn to follow that impression. So, God can give you words of knowledge through impression. I get that sometimes. I'll be in a store and sometimes I'll ask for more on it, and he doesn't do that very often. I'll pull on it because I know he's already talking about the person, so he wants to talk to him. So sometimes they'll give me more on that, where I know people, I think one sitting beside me, that can pull on that very strongly at any time. and the guy running the soundboard. So with that said, we move on. The I also get words sometimes. I just discern is my strongest gift, and I was driving through the parking lot of Winn-Dixie. This is just how a guy can do it. These are to learn on, because don't take 10 or 15 years to, well, you can learn right now what it took me all them years to learn. Ride through the parking lot. When I look at people, I just discern people. And I'm just riding by, and this lady's walking in the gym, and she looked almost like homeless, trying to hold herself together. And I thought, man, she's really went through some stuff, just the way she looked. And then I was like, man, she's got something hard. She's trying to work out of something. And I just, this conversation keeps going, and I'm riding down the ice cream shop in Winn-Dixie about Midway Road in Fort Pierce. And then as I'm pulling in, I'm like, oh no, this is you. Because I get so nervous to approach anybody. I'm like, oh, and I always try to do it though. And so I'm like, I got this whole thing that just went on in my head. I'm like, oh man, this is the Lord. So I drive down there. I'm walking in there all nervous, not know if they'll let me in there. She's in the workout place. I don't have a membership there. And I walk around and I find her, and she turns around and she looks nothing like she looked when I rode by her. She looked like a businesswoman, has everything together. When I rode by, she looked like someone was a hang on for dear life that was homeless. And I'm like, and I say, I just felt, you know, maybe the Lord gave me something when I rode by you in the parking lot. I don't know if this will mean anything. You know, I usually try to say, does this mean anything to you? But I couldn't under that circumstance. Because you don't have to say God said something, because it'll hit them. When you give them something, it hits them just as hard without you having to say God. And then if you do miss it, then you didn't say God said it. So anyway, I tell her the whole scenario. I didn't go in and tell you all that, but, and she's just looking at me like, I'm thinking she might be mad at me or something. And I was like, look, I can miss it. And I started to say I missed it before, and it's no pride. I never thought about it. I thought, man, I can't think of a time I did. I'm sure it probably did sometime, but I couldn't think. I'm like, well, usually they're right. I don't get them a lot, so don't think I'm over here getting all these words. I don't get words of knowledge a lot, but usually they're right. And maybe because I'm not trying to get them. Anyway, she goes, are you a psychic? And I said, no, the Lord gave me that. And then I start talking to her, and it's all dead on, you know, and just really touched her. And all that was over riding through the parking lot and just what I saw looking at her. And I just had the same thing happen to the gas pump a couple of days ago. I was pumping gas. I look over, and there's a guy there pumping gas. I just look over and it's like, man, he's so insecure. I just discern, you know, seeing that thing on him. And I'm like, man, I know he gets his feelings hurt all the time. I can see how insecure he is and how people let him down because he's thinking other people like he is, and he's sensitive spirit. And then I'm like, oh, here we go again. So I go over there and I'm like, I think the Lord has something. Said the same thing, you know. I said, you're a real sensitive person, and you don't know why people, they let you down. You know why they let you down all the time. And I just said a bunch more stuff. Nothing important. But he's like, oh my God, you don't know how much that touched me. And he was just really moved. And I went back over to pump my gas, and he called me back over, man, I just got to tell you, you don't know what she done for me. So that's just how important to him it was. What seemed an impression so non-important. Don't ever throw something out that's non-important that involves another person. It may be really detrimental to them. So let's see the next level. Find my notes. I don't go off my notes, so I don't know why I write them. A knowing is the next level. A knowing is stronger than impression, and it's never been wrong for me. And The first time a knowing came, I was 11 years old. I had talked to God all the time. My mom told me about Jesus. I said a prayer. But I don't know if I even thought at the time, hey, God's talking to me. I was walking down 25th Street in Fort Pierce, coming up on Edwards Road. I was about 1,000 feet from Edwards Road. There's doctor's offices there now. But I was walking and I had just came to me. There's a truck coming up behind you. I was 11 and I was looked like I was 8 because I was a little for my age. I was a late bloomer. There's a truck coming up behind you. Do not turn around and look. He's going to try to grab you. Do not look. Wait until he passes by you and run. So I hear a semi slowing down and didn't have a trailer on it. I didn't see that till after he went by me, but I hear semi slowing down. I'm like, and I am nervous and I know he's coming for me. And this is before we were really getting taught that people try to take your stuff back then. This is in 1971. So then he's almost stopped. I see the truck. I see him looking. I've got my eyes turned without looking over at him as hard as I can turn my eyes. He's staring at me. And as soon as the back of the window on the passenger side where the frame comes down around the door, as soon as it cut our viewing each other, I bolted through them woods. Not woods. It was grass about a couple feet high. And I'm just running full speed. I look over to my left. And he's came up to the next street and come up, driving up the street. He's like 150 feet over, 200 feet, driving, looking at me at the speed I'm running. And I stopped, and he stopped, and he's staring. And I look around, and I see some people in a carport, and I ran full speed to those people. When I got there, it's the guy that I played Little League Baseball with, and we were both pitching the next year. And that's why I remember I was 11, because we started talking about pitching. And I watched him drive off. I never told anybody. But I probably wouldn't be here if I hadn't listened to that. But it was a very strong, but it was a knowing. That's a different level, which I've only had that less. I've heard audible more than I've heard through a knowing. I don't know why. So anyway, next time a knowing came was to go out and pray for somebody after I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was so manly, I went home and cried for a half hour in my living room for God not to make me do that because I can't do that. I don't know him. And that's the first person he healed. And thank God I didn't have to go through. I know people that pray for hundreds of people before the first one was healed. I don't know if I'd have held out, but hold out, keep praying, just stand on the word of God. They're healed because the word of God says they'll be healed. So the next level would be through visions. And we get glimpses of things. I'm just looking at the time here. I won't go into these. You can see things as a picture. I've seen things about cars, inventions. Let me see here. We got 10 minutes. 1 second. Let me look through my notes. There's visions in your mind. Seems like your imagination. The platform truck that they use on the airlines was done through a vision. They couldn't get it to quit breaking, and they asked this guy, Thurman Scrivener. And God gave him a vision. He drew it real quick and gave it to him. The guy would show that guy more stuff. He's the one that had the faith, the hail didn't rain around the car. And let me see what else. I had something wrong with my race car motor. Several things in the cars. He would show me things wrong with other people's cars. They wouldn't be able to figure out how to do what was wrong inside the motor. Weird things through visions. And then you can see a vision play out. I saw a basketball game. It was the enemy against the Christians, and the stands was full of the people, the angels and people that's gone on. and the Lord was standing in the middle of them. They were all standing, watching. And the game was the Christians against the enemy. And the Christians were laying on the ground crying. And the enemy's dancing all around them and kicking them and stuff. And then one guy got up off the floor and dressed out. And I knew when he dressed out in the vision, he gave me a knowing that he died. And he's going up into heaven. That was heaven looking at us. And he ran straight up to Jesus. Jesus is looking towards the game, so he's looking away from the game. And he starts talking, and Jesus put his finger up in front of his mouth and said, shh. He said, what? He said, the game. He pointed to the game. They're all laying on the floor. He said, well, what about heaven? He said, heaven's set. I can tell you what you'll be doing 1 billion years from now. The only thing that's not set is the game. And then one guy got off the floor and started going, and all the angels and saints started jumping up and down, screaming, go, go, go. And he started getting excited. He's looking at them. He said, can I go back in? And the Lord put his hand on his shoulder and said, I'm sorry. You already had your chance. And that vision I needed at that time, because I was going through some stuff, and that self-pity will take you out. Anytime something bad happens, it's there. That's the spirit behind suicide. It's just that volatile, terrible feeling. The next thing would be an open vision is a high level. An open vision you see with your eyes. A lot of people call visions in their head open visions, but they're not. An open vision, if I was standing before you, you couldn't say whether I was an open vision or really there because it looks like they're really there. When the Lord appears in an open vision, he looks like he's really there. I had one going down I-75. I was with another pastor at a race. And another pastor, I don't know what that meant. I'm not a pastor. But anyway, a girl was walking. And we got about 50 feet from her and she disappeared. And I was seeing her. So I knew it was open vision. And at first I said, was that an angel? And I'm like, there's no angels walking down I-75. I'm like, Lord, what was that? And I didn't say anything to him. I was just praying. A couple miles up the road, he yanks the truck, says, oh my God, that lady's going to get hit. Did you see that woman? I said, I just had an open vision of a woman. We got to go back and get her. So we went as a long ways. We would have not went back that far if it wasn't for the vision. So we go back, go around, finally get her. She's walking up a bridge. We almost hit her going up the bridge. Gets in the truck. She's out of gas. Her friend's at the car. We go get gas. Go, and then we're standing there at Walmart getting a gas can. I told my friend, I said, she's got a lot of ministers in her family. He goes, why do you say that? I said, guys, God don't make me fast. He made me fast right in the middle after ordering a bunch of steak and stuff with 10 people that didn't know the Lord. And embarrass myself. I said, to give me my first open vision I ever had in my life, to save this woman's life unless people are praying for this woman. He goes, ma'am, do you have any ministers in your family? She goes, yeah, my uncle so-and-so. She named like seven. He's looking at me. And then we got the gas. A policeman brought the friend, and then she got her truck and got out of there. So an open vision you don't ask for. It's not to make us feel good. It was important to God is why I had it, not because anything I did. It just, I was the guy in the place at the time. That guy, Thurman Scrivener, had an open vision of his wife. She's pulling into a car wash. It's 2 a.m, woke her up. A movie screen opened up on the wall. She got out to wash her car. These three guys jumped on her and beat her up, took her wallet, and called her. He said, where are you? She goes, I'm just pulling into the car wash. He goes, don't you dare pull in that car wash. I just had a vision. She goes, I'm coming straight home. I was going to stop and get something to eat too. And it's like 2 a.m. She was working at this place real late. So that was an important vision too. And we're going to be wrapping it up here. I wanted to see if there's anything important I need to share. God speaks through dreams. Maybe we'll cover some of them next week. Same thing, low-level dreams, high-level dreams. Doesn't matter the lamp. Doesn't. A low-level thing can be a very important thing. Doesn't make it less important. So we got 3 minutes left. So I want to pray for impartation. Father, I ask you to impart streams of visions and come to know your voice better, Lord, to understand them more. Give us revelatory giftings with understanding, dreams. Father, draw us all closer to you in Jesus' mighty name. And if you don't know the Lord, just the Bible says, if we believe in our heart that Jesus died and rose again on the third day, and we speak with our mouth, we shall be saved. We confess it with our mouth, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto salvation. In the mouth, he speaks. With the heart, man believes, with the mouth, he confesses unto salvation. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm not going to look for it. Anyway, so if you are listening and you're intrigued and you would like to know this God we're talking about, and you just happen to tune into this station, I would like to lead you in a prayer. This is how it started for me. I pray this prayer, and from that day forward is when everything started rolling. So a lot of people argue over this prayer, but it's really just opening our hearts to him. Now, we can walk away, but this is where he met me, and he's met so many people, even people in my family, where their life changed from that day. Just slowly, but we're inviting him in. His Holy Spirit comes in to dwell with us. So if you want to do this and accept the Lord, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know you died for my sins, and I know you rose the third day. I ask you to come into my heart, be Lord of my life, and save me. I surrender totally my life to you, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. If you've done that, then I would, if you want to call in, I can actually myself bring some Bibles. If anybody calls in and you need a Bible, because the Word of God is our main foundation. Any vision, I don't care if you're seeing it with your eyes. The devil can do visions. When those people turn their heads around in deliverance, that's an open vision too. That's like, it looks like they're really doing it, but they're not. That's an open vision. So we got to stand on the Word of God. So call in, we'll send you a Bible. And God bless everyone. This is Kingdom Recovery. Have a good day.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love, all the glory to the God of love.
When the miles are too high for counting, in the hills too steep to climb, when the world outside ain't making sense, and the truth's too lost to find, when that line's too blurred for seeing, and my wrong's too wrong to right, when I'm hanging by that final thread, and my strong's too weak to fight, I hear a song, sweet song, singing to my soul. See a lighthouse in a hurricane, and it's leading me back home. And when I think about the only things in life that pull me through, I hit my knees and thank the Lord for Jesus and you. Oh, yes, I do. Every day I do. One
is saving me to heaven when I leave this world behind. And one gives me just a little taste.